It is an absolute privilege to be here today. This is something that I've been looking forward to for quite some time. You know, when Dad approached me about doing this, it was something that I was really excited about, a whole new audience to teach to. I've been working on running workshops and things like that for teachers to better ways to better engage their audiences, better ways to engage their learners. And it's really exciting to see those types of changes happening in our school system. You know, like Dad was referencing before, you know, the way that things have been done, even just 5 years ago, is very, very different than the way things are being done today. And so I wanted to take the time just to explain some of these new processes, some of the new methods, and just some of the easy and practical tools that you can take away and use immediately. That, you know, I think that's kind of the thing that I get fired up about sometimes, is I hear all this, you know, great philosophy about teaching and ways to improve your practice and better ways to engage learner and this scholarly article and that journal, you know, article, and where's the actual day-to-day application of that? And so there are easy and simple and, most importantly, free ways to get those tools into the hands of your learner, right? And so that's kind of the premise of what I've really started to focus on as an educator, is what are the simple and practical ways in which to engage your learner? And even in the ministry, are we not teachers? You know, I mean, this is something that we kind of we try to label certain people a certain way. You're a public school teacher. Well, no, we are. We're teachers. We're coaches. We minister in all sorts of different ways. And so those terms can oftentimes be interchangeable. And I think that's an important concept for all of us to really grab hold to and hold on to. So with that being said, did anybody have any issues going through and getting that either QR code read or the bit.ly link there to the website? Everything that we go through today will be on this webpage. You'll be able to walk away with all of those resources, all the links, and all of the materials that you'll see today during the presentation. All right, then let's get going. So this is titled Technology and Cooperative Change. It's been a focus of mine as to better implement technology into the classroom. Technology connects with kids, you know. I'm teaching 8th grade kids every single day who go home and play Fortnite for hours. They go home and they do all these great, you know, video games and internet. And if they can get a little bit of taste of that in the classroom, it's going to connect with them more. And so there are really easy and simple ways in order to both connect to any audience, not just kids, because games are fun, you know. And so I want to start off actually doing that today. But before we do that, it's kind of important that I, you know, talk about my family a little bit. So these are my kids and my wife. We just had an excellent kind of a breather, a vacation. We have 3 kids, 3 or under, because we're really brave. And it's so fun to be able to share them with you a little bit. That's my wife Claire. Elizabeth is 3. Evie is 2, pretty much, and then Dave is our newest. He's 3 months, so things are quite busy at the Vosburg household these days, but they are never dull. They are very, very exciting at all times, and so it's kind of fun to have them here with me. Literally right now, every single one of those people in that picture are asleep, so we will let them sleep at this point. We're going to start off with a little game. And this is one of the free and easy ways in which you can connect with any audience of any size, up to 150 people at one single time. And so we're going to do a little buzz-in live exercise really quickly. So if you have your phone or your computer, I want you, please, if you would, to go to this website, and I will pull it over for you. It's buzzinlive.com. So if you click that link and you have it pulled up, it will take you to that website. If not, you can type in the word buzzinlive, and you'll see a screen that looks very similar to this. And what I will do is I'm going to be the host here, all right? And you will all join this exercise here, this program. So I'm going to click the word host. And what I'm doing right now is creating a game setting, all right? Ever see, you're all big Jeopardy fans, right? That one dude was on there for like, what, 2, 3.5 weeks or something recently? The big task was to get the buzzer in right. That's what they always say, right? The first person to be able to get the buzzer. Most of them know the answers. It's who can buzz in the fastest. Well, this is going to tell us who buzzed in the fastest right here in this room. We're going to have a little trivia game, 5 questions or so. And so what you need to do then is there's a game code there, 682104. And you're going to hit the words join. You're going to type in that code, give yourself a super cool nickname, one that will be unique to you, and we're going to have a little fun here to start off this session. We see Fabio joining, right? So Fabio's pretty, look for the one with the longest hair in the room, and that's probably him. Flyhawk, old and loving it. Okay, we got some really cool, we got some darker individuals in the room. Killer. Now, once you have typed in that code and given yourself a nickname, everyone's seen that big buzzer that's popping up on your screen? All right. So all you're going to do is, once the question is read, as soon as you think you know the answer, you're going to hit that buzzer. But as soon as you hit the buzzer, the question is going to be stopped in its entirety. Right. So as soon as you think you know the answer to the question, go ahead and hit that buzzer. We'll be able to see who has buzzed in the fat, rip-roaring Rev. What's the answer? Who are you? Where are you at, rip-roaring Rev? You already know the answer, don't you? So that was the practice there. So what I can do then, I can just reset all of our buzzers and we can do it all over again. Okay, rip-roaring Rev. Cheryl's struck. Okay. Get it all the way up. Max volume. All right. Anybody else need a little bit more time getting in on this? All right, we've got a good 18 people. That's pretty good. All right, so we will be able to see the first person buzzing in as soon as the question is read. Dad, you want to go ahead and read the first question, please?
Question number one, Bible. How many Old Testament water-parting miracles are there?
Well, you have to buzz in first.
Okay.
We got just me was the first buzzer inner. Who's just me? All right, how many?
Two. That is incorrect.
Okay. We got Archos, who is next? Archos? Arcos?
Three.
That is incorrect.
Anybody else want to give it a shot?
Someone's got to buzz in.
Winner.
Four.
Four is correct.
You count high enough, you'll eventually get there, right? Right, there you go.
Just for explanation, at the Red Sea, Joshua and Jordan, Elijah, when he put his mantle down, Elisha did it going back. Okay? Four times. There you go.
All right, so we have one winner. Congratulations, I have nothing for you. Good job. Exactly. And most of us don't need any... Never mind. All right, let's continue. Question number two.
People, who is the oldest person in the room?
Oh, this is rough. This is rough. Fabio, what's your guess?
I was
going to
say Methuselah, but he's not.
Do we even know, really, at this point?
This is a crowd verification.
Mr. Chipchase, how old are you, if you don't mind? Anyone beating 82?
Anyone beat 82?
All right. All right, we got a winner. Nice job. Very good. All right, let's go on to our next one.
Question three, current events. Name the recent film that made headlines on the topic of abortion.
Old and Lovin' It was the first to buzz in.
That's correct.
Very good.
Well done.
We had a bunch of guys ready to go. Mama Voss. Who's that? Okay. Let's go on with the next one.
Question number four. IFCA history. Where was the convention held in 2016?
Fabio again.
Israel Bible Church.
That is incorrect.
Oh, 2016.
Key Guy is next. Key Guy. Who's Key Guy? Okay, no worries. We got Paladin is next.
Okay, I think it was Springfield, Illinois. That is correct.
All right, very good.
Well done.
All right.
Yeah.
Our last question.
Sports. You ready?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Name the World Series champions of 2016.
Oh, winner, do you have a guess?
I guess the Cubs.
How'd you know?
Well done,
pretty good.
Well done.
Good stuff over there. I'm just going to leave this on. Anyone be offended if I leave this on the rest of the president? No? Okay. All right, so this is Buzz In Live. I mean, this is 150 people can participate. What about a trivia night on a Wednesday night sometime? Or a Sunday night specialty service, right, where we have Bible trivia or we have a ways for kids to, during a youth group, right, to be able to do something like this. Partner up, do it together. You know, it's a really just a very cheap, very simple way to engage an audience, in a very, very right from the get-go. And it's kind of a little bit of fun, too. Take a look at the quote real quick up on the board. This is something that we've really started to buy in a lot as teachers. You know, our demographic of student is changing rapidly almost daily, right? You know, and I love the analogy here. We can't use landline strategies to teach Wi-Fi kids. You know, these kids are growing up in a different era. And times have to change in order to meet the needs of that learner. And if we don't adapt, we're going to be behind. Someone else is going to do it. They're going to engage their learner in creative ways, and those learners will be attracted to that type of a setup. Now, if you're doing things the right way and we're teaching in the correct manner, then this can go hand in hand with that, right? We can teach them in using engaging practices in a correct way and teach them the right things. And we use it in the classroom, that kind of philosophy, and I think that can be adapted to churches as well. So many of you were looking through this QR code right at the beginning. They're a lot easier to create than you might imagine. This is a link to a page that it's simply called QR Code Generator. And you can link any video, any text, any document to that QR code just like you did today. You can project a QR code. You can print it off. You can have it sitting there on a sheet of paper as they walk into a service. You can have your PDF bulletin connected to it. They scan that bulletin. They've got a copy of that on their phone. There are all sorts of applications here. A youth group, if there's a document that you would like to have your youth group have access to really quickly without having this long code, you have, and it's fun. Kids think that's kind of cool, right? People think that's kind of cool, right? A lot of you had typed in the website and they're like, you know what, I'm going to try to see if this little QR code works. Let me try that out real quick, right? I mean, it's just something different. It's something unique, and it's a way to engage an audience in a different way than might be the norm. And that's a unique thing that stands out, and that can be utilized in a church. And so what I've done here, giving you kind of just a little overview of that. Then the different options that you can see here, a URL, you can have a PDF, you can even have a song if you're really kind of feeling, you know, cool. You can have a video, you can even link them to a Facebook page, right? What if your church has a Facebook page or a social media account and you want to give out a flyer and you can just have them QR code, scan that code, it takes you right to your church website. Takes you right to your church's Twitter account, whatever it might be, right? You know, that's a quick and easy way to do some really quick demographic work and really outreach right there just really quickly. And so I've given you just a couple of different options. You know, like I said, I'm all about the practical side of things. I'm going to show you a tool, but I need to give you some insight into how I think it might be utilized, right? There needs to be a practical application of that tool. And so that's what I've done here. How about linking a weekly bulletin and maybe sermon outlines, right? They can walk away with a sermon outline. They can have a church outreach document to that QR code. And again, use your creativity here, right? This type of technology can be utilized in all sorts of fashions and all sorts of different ways and avenues in a church. And so then I've given you the link to the actual website as well, which we can walk through right now. It's super easy. Like I said, I'm all about practical. I'm about easy. I'm about really straightforward, easy to implement strategies. So all you would do for right now is you would type in a certain website, whatever it would be, hit your create QR code, and it would take you right to that website if you scan that code. You would get a downloadable, printable image of that very quickly. And so it's an easy-to-use piece of technology. On to our next tool, then, is this is Loom. Anyone ever do some screen recording, right? So you can have something displayed on your computer. You can have a video bubble of yourself talking about what's on the screen, and this can all be done with Loom. You can have the audio and the video going right over your work, whether it be a presentation, whether it be a sermon outline. Maybe it's a quick little Bible study. You know, what about a 30-second to a minute just overview of a verse, and you have an interpretation of that verse or a daily application of that verse? Quick 30 seconds, here's the text, here's the different things you can highlight on that text, a digital copy of that Bible verse. You record yourself speaking on that topic and save it as a minute-long little daily Bible study that you can tweet out, you can put on your Facebook account, you can put it to a QR code, right? They walk in, they scan that QR code, they've got 30 seconds of you explaining what you can do in your church, right? It's a quick and easy way. Like, I'm going to repeat myself, I'm beating a dead bird here, right? It's a quick and easy way, not a lot of upstart, not a lot of upfront knowledge necessary in order to do this. And so what I did, and this is my example here, this is a screenshot of it. I was in the hospital recently due to the birth of my son, right? And so I missed multiple days of school, and I didn't want my class to be a week and a half behind, having taken off for that. And so from my hospital room, I had this PowerPoint, you know, over a call for women's rights and the women's suffrage movement and things like that. And so I recorded myself. You can see my really handsome photo there in the bottom left if you're really looking closely there. What I did was just I had that bubble going in the bottom left-hand corner. I was walking my students through the slide. I had a set of pre-filled out notes for them to follow along as they're filling out the notes as we're going through the presentation. And I wasn't there in person in class, but I was there, you know, on the computer. And they had me talking to them on a pre-recorded video. And it took all of 10 minutes for me to put that together, right? It's another way that you can engage in outreach opportunities for your community, right? Put it on your social media accounts, put it on a website. Here's me explaining our philosophy. Here's me explaining our theology of this church and what we believe. And you have somebody talking to you personally. And Loom has they've built in a really cool program in order to make that happen. You can actually save up to 100 videos free of charge. That you can have that database of videos on Loom, their website, free of charge, up to 100 different videos. And they can be exponential in length. There's no limit in terms of how long those videos can be. Not that you would want someone to watch you for 2 hours, but you know, it's just, you want to try to limit it a little bit. But unlimited video storage there, up to 100 videos. And so here are my kind of just practical applications for this. If I can get whole control of my mouse here. How about displaying biblical text on a screen with your live image recorded in the corner? And you're going through a quick little minute to 2 minute Bible study, right? A morning devotional, maybe, right? And you can tweet that out. And the cool thing about Loom is you can see how many people have watched it. They can interact with the video. They can like certain moments in the video. When I was creating this video in the hospital, of course, there are things going on in this hospital, right? My child decided to scream at a certain point in the video. And ironically, all the students started to like the video at the moment that the baby was screaming. And I was like, well, that's really heartless. I mean, come on, the baby's crying, and here you are celebrating the moment by liking the video. But by the way, okay, so I'm just going to aside here. I love all my kids. Okay, I do. We planned really hard to try to get them around holidays so it was easier for me to remember them. So Evie was, Elizabeth was born on St. Patrick's Day, planned. We had David born on April Fool's Day, planned. And then Evelyn came on July 3rd. And I was really bummed. Because it was in the evening, you know, it was like 8:30 at night. I was like, just hold her in a little bit longer, and we'll have our fourth. It's not that hard. She didn't listen. We had her. I mean, I love her still and stuff, but you know, this just really bothered me that we couldn't have. I'm sorry. We'll move on. How about you discuss the history, meaning, and daily application of a passage, provide reflective questions, and then distribute that video via social media or email. Blast out an email, right? You've all got contacts in your churches. Maybe email a daily devotional using Loom, and they're talking right with you on that, or you're talking straight to them via that video. Questions on Loom. Let's continue. And again, that link to Loom will take you right to the website where you can create a free account, and you can start recording anything that's on your screen. This is PictoChart. PictoChart is an infographic maker. Again, free of charge as well. I like free. This is you don't need to be a graphic designer. You don't need to have any background knowledge in the visual arts. There are thousands of templates that are already pre-made for you. This is just one example that I brought on here, and ironically enough, it's how to create an infographic, right? And so this is something that I literally just copied and pasted into this presentation. Someone's free template that they had posted online, and you can start to put promotional items together. Maybe you revamp a bulletin, right? And it makes it just look more professional, and again, it takes you literally seconds. It's easy to edit. It's easy to modify, to lengthen, to shorten, to whatever your need is. There's a cool banana there. So you just keep on scrolling down, and I've got a couple of just ways in which you can implement this. You know, publicizing church events. You know, a flyer, right? We're having a cookout, and we want to post these things around town. Or we're having VBS, and here's a really cool infographic talking about the dates that this will happen, the activities that will go along with it. You know, it's an opportunity just to create a professional looking flyer, a professional looking bulletin, display materials. It can be really used well for that as well. It's a far-reaching tool that has multiple applications within any business, within any church, within any school. Okay, our next link here, our next tool is Unsplash. Now, this is what I would call like a quick hitter here. This is something that it takes literally no time to do, but we're always looking to spice up presentations, or we're always looking to spice up visuals like PictoChart. Unsplash is a database of free-to-use professional photography, professional images with creative licenses removed. So you will not be infringing on anybody's copyright to use Unsplash. And this one is pretty useful. Every image that you see on this presentation, I pulled from Unsplash. That way I know that I'm not infringing on anybody's work. I'm not abusing anyone's copyright. And so if we do that here, and you can search the entire internet for any source here. So if I just go, nighttime sky, there are 8,000 images that I can use free of charge with that type of theme. Right? And all of these are free to download, copy, and distribute as freely as you would see fit. A pretty one of those little side resources that you don't think about sometimes, but it can be very useful when you're trying to put together a professional looking presentation.
Are they attribution free?
As far as I mean, they actually will say credit would be nice, but it's not required, to be honest with you. But there is a disclaimer on Unsplash that says, look, this would be nice if you credit the author. I mean, the author is there, right? I mean, it shows who took that picture, but they have publicly put that image out for redistribution, free of charge. You'll notice also, I was trying to get a theme here where a lot of these would be used together, if you've kind of picked up on that a little bit. PictoChart would be very useful when you're using images from Unsplash, right? You have no worries that this is being, copyrighted against, or you're infringing on someone's copyright. The same thing here. Google Forms has been a lifesaver for me in the classroom, to be honest with you. This is how I administer surveys, feedback, take polls, all sorts of different methods. I deliver all my tests via Google Forms. It allows for instant feedback for students. I give them multiple choice questions, fill in the blank questions, true false questions, multiple response questions, and they get an immediate response back on how they performed on that test. Additionally, I get feedback as a teacher. I can go back through and I can look back and say, look, I've got an 8 out of 10 rating on this, and I can look to improve that. Don't be afraid of what people think of your preaching or your leadership, right? Ask them for their feedback. What can be done better? This is something that I've really started to apply as a teacher. I am not the world's best teacher. I have room to grow. Everyone has room to grow in every manner of career or profession that they are working in. And if you're not willing to accept constructive criticism, you're going to stay in that same level that you've always been. Ask people for their feedback. What things are working for you in this church? What things are working for you in this classroom? What would you like better about Sunday school? What did you like about today's class? And give them a quick little feedback, a form, a survey, and ask them for that feedback. And you'll be surprised at the answers. People are honest, almost brutally honest sometimes, right? But absorb that and get better with that. I can't tell you, I've started to grow so much as an educator, so I like to believe I have, by starting to listen to my students. What is engaging to you? What can I do better to reach you as a learner? What can I do better to reach you as a target audience in my community? What do I need to know about you as a person in order to run my church so that I'm reaching the most people that I can? Right, the biggest demographic of people that I can. And something as simple as Google Forms can make that possible. Something as simple as Google Forms can really change the course of how you operate as an entity. And so this is a question that I gave about my teaching style. I wanted them to know. What I like to do in my class is to alternate instruction days versus work days. So I will deliver sometimes a 20-minute lecture on a particular topic on one day. The next day, we won't lecture. We'll do different activities and work time and different exercises that I put together, then kind of building on what we learned about the day before. So we call them instruction days and work days. And which days did you like better and why? And so on instruction days, did you like the way that I lectured? Did you like the way that I presented the information? Most of the time I was doing all right. 8 out of 10, I did have that one person, decide to give me a 0 out of 10 because we're talking about middle school students here. At least I like to think I'm not a 0 out of 10, but, it's an outlier. I like to think it's an outlier. Okay, it's an outlier. But no, most of the people here are in the top half there. And so, but again, there's room to grow, right? There's room to look at this and ask for feedback. And most important about this, you can also give, written comments back. And so that's what I value more than just a number, right? Give me a feedback in terms of actual comments. Explain your response to me. What do you like about this? What don't you like about this? It could be as simple as trying to get information about what to do on a church event. Who's going to bring what item of food? It's simple here, right? I've got these many people bringing this amount of food. I got this many people bringing this type of food, and you can use Google Forms for that as well. Sign-ups for things. The applications for it are certainly far-reaching.
Matt, how do you give that?
There's a link, so just like I gave you the link to the web page for today, there will be a button at the top of Google Forms, and it'll say send.
So are you giving your tests to them be like bonding?
Yes. And again, we've moved to that. Obviously, there's obviously the budgetary reasons of no one wants to buy paper for, you know, 750 kids every single day anymore. And so that has been encouraged. It has been embraced by some, not others. And it's certainly, we've gone very, very much on the tech side, and at least in terms of how I run my classroom. And we've seen benefits more than just the, hey, we're saving money. You know, people are more willing to fill out a 2 seconds form than they are to fill out an entire sheet of paper, handwrite it out, and then turn it in. You know, there's something about filling a quick form out rather than signing a sheet of paper and filling it out, handwriting it, that people are more likely to complete. And we've seen better feedback and better completion rates with that type of an exercise rather than just a take-home sheet of paper, you lose it, the dog ate it. Now the dog doesn't eat my homework. That's not the excuse anymore. It's my internet went out. Right? That's the new dog ate my homework these days. So how about creating surveys for church meetings, determining attendance even, and then asking for feedback on church activities? You know, these Google Forms can provide you a method and a means to make those things happen. And again, the link to Google Forms is there as well. Adobe Spark is the next tool that I'd like to highlight. Again, it is free in a limited form. You'll see that a lot of these tools that I've been sharing with you will have the premium versions, right, that you can pay an exponential amount of money to acquire all of those features. I don't do any of that. I use the most basic and I make it work. The benefits of using just the basic version is still what we want to accomplish, right? To make things look really, really fancy, you can buy the premium version, but no one knows you're not using the premium version when you use the basic. You know, it's and again, I like free. Adobe Spark is how this presentation is being run. This is a web page. You all had access to the web page. It can be used for presentations like it's being used now. It's just a little bit of a change of pace from the traditional, hey, let's click this slide to that slide, which is just fine, right? But it adds a different dimension to it. It also allows them to take this with them whenever you go, right? So all of you will be able to have access to these resources when you walk out of here digitally. You'll never lose them, at least unless your phone, you know, decides to, you know, die out or something, right? But you always have the website, right, that link. And so Adobe Spark allows for that type of an opportunity. Again, this is free. Adobe Spark is more than just web page building, though. It's video editing and text. You can make graphics with Adobe Spark. Again, free. You will have sometimes that watermark, right? Everyone likes to promote their own product, so you might see Adobe Spark, which you can get rid of if you buy the premium version. But again, if you can live with an Adobe Spark watermark on your final product, then you don't have to pay for anything. So again, how about creating a church blog of weekly activities, right? You can see the scroll going on here. In this week at Fellowship Bible Church, we were doing these things, and then the very next post is what we did the next week. And you can keep people abreast of the situation of things that are going on in your church, and you can do that free of charge. You can have links to outside sources. You can have QR codes embedded into your Adobe Spark page, which can take them somewhere else. The links within this, you can see, I've added links to all these outside sources, outside websites, resources. What if you have a link to a Loom video that you've created that you can embed into your web page? All that can be contained in one local site here with this Adobe Spark web page. This next one is storyboard that. I love this. This kind of gets that creative, those creative juices flowing a little bit. This is a way to tell digital stories, and it's basically like a comic book generator, if you will. My students love these exercises when we do this because it's allowing them to take an idea, put it down into a story mode, but to do it all in a very engaging and creative way. And so this is storyboard that, and you can effortlessly insert like backgrounds and characters, objects, and this is highly customizable. You can down to the color of their eyes, you can change these characters that you're putting into this little comic book story maker. And so Sunday schools, this would be something that's super engaging for them. There are times where I've created a storyboard just to highlight or preview what we're going to do that day, and I've given you one of those examples here. And you'll be more likely to be able to see it better there on your screen. But this is one that I put together for a study getting ready to highlight the Oregon Trail. And again, this is coming from an 8th grade history perspective. But I've given them just a couple of references embedded within this story about the Oregon Trail. This couple is getting ready to head off on the Oregon Trail. And there's some references to different things that we were going to be talking about that day in class. As a Sunday school session, wouldn't this be a kind of a cool way just to introduce a topic for that day? Let's tell the story of Jesus, his crucifixion and we get ready to kind of show that process leading up to that, right? Maybe him coming into Jerusalem on a donkey, right? And we kind of highlight that in a storytelling comic book mode, you know, and that would resonate with kids. And don't think this is lost on adults either, because I've done this in professional development for high school teachers, and they're like, that's kind of cool. Right. And it's something that can connect in all sorts of ways with lots of different people. And again, it shows some effort. It shows effort on your part. It's like you're trying. You're really trying to connect. And we're doing it in kind of a fun way. And I always say with my students, you know, when you can insert little puns, you get extra credit, right? If you can somehow make me laugh by reading your storyboard, and I can also learn a little bit of history along the way, and you can show me that you comprehend what we're talking about, then bonus points for you by inserting these little puns, which I think I had a really good pun in here. If you have not read it, it's fantastic. Anyone reading it? No? Can I get just a sympathetic chuckle just to make me feel good? Thanks, appreciate it. You know, it's a good thing you're in the audience today. Okay. So how about creating storyboards for Sunday school? How about an opener for a message, acting as a mechanism to draw your audience into whatever topic you'll be discussing that day? How about kids creating their own? This is where they'll really start to get fired up, right? If you have their own, their phones or tablets with them on a night, hey, make sure you bring your tablets if you got them at home. If not, we'll partner up and we'll do this together. And then you take a Google Form vote. Who had the best one and why, right? It's a really cool way to get some feedback, get a little competitive juices flowing. I want to make the best and most creative storyboard, and people are going to see this, and we're going to share our work, and we're going to learn a little something along the way. We do this all the time. We like taking votes in class. We like to kind of embed that kind of gamified approach to education a little bit. People want to win. You all wanted to win those questions. Don't even lie like you think you didn't want to win those questions earlier. Okay, you wanted to be the person that buzzed in first, and you got that answer right. You know, that if you can embed that type of competitive nature in that gamified atmosphere as much as possible, people are going to connect with that. Okay, I'm going to challenge you a little bit. If you don't have a Twitter, I would encourage it. This is just me, and I am all over Twitter. The last post that I had like tens of people see it. You know, I have just really established a strong digital presence over the course of a year. I'm new to Twitter, I'll be honest with you. I'm a little over a year old in my Twitter presence, if you will. But in that year, I have resisted it for so long because I know myself, and if I had a Twitter, I would just be like on it all the time, right? Because you would get embedded in what's going on in the Twitterverse, as they say. If you use Twitter correctly, it can be a game changer for you, for anybody. I'll kind of speak to you from the perspective of education as to why Twitter became such an powerful tool for me. I was getting ready to present just like this, and the conference had a Twitter handle, and it suggested that if you were, you know, going to be attending this conference, to go ahead and sign up and use our hashtag and get ready to participate in this type of activity. And so I did, and as I was using that hashtag that the conference had set up, I'm getting posts and resources of people just giving away this information that they had in their own sessions that I wasn't able to attend. And so I started doing the same thing. I started to make these resources, and I started to post them onto Twitter, and we would be sharing resources back and forth. And so if you follow the right people, if you are using the right hashtags, if you will, and I'll kind of just go into this in just a moment, this can be an incredibly powerful tool. I have grown more using social media than any other professional development opportunity that I've ever been able to attend. I have learned more. I've learned tips. I've learned tricks. I've learned methodologies. I've learned practices. I've learned exercises. I've learned just a host of information based off of my usage of educational Twitter. So I call it educational Twitter. You know, as a coach, I'm able to connect with the community. I coach baseball. I coach football. After our football game, I coach middle school football. We always film our games, right? I'll put together a highlight reel and tweet it out. You know, here are the best plays that we had as a team, and I would tweet that out, and we would get parents interacting with us, right? That's great. I saw my boy do that on that play, and that was great. And you know, this was a way to connect with the community in a really positive way. Now, I have had teachers tell me that I'm never going to get on Twitter because it's the armpit of the universe. And I tell you that if you follow like the Kim Kardashians of the world, then yes, it will be the armpit of the universe. Don't do that. Only follow people that you trust, that are vetted, and that are going to improve you in whatever career, whatever profession that you are engaging in. In ministry, it can be profound. If you are a church body, right, and you create a church Twitter account, and you follow other like-minded entities that are going to help support you in your endeavors, is that not a way to connect with the community? right? And now you have to use it professionally, right? There is a professional Twitter, and then there's the not professional Twitter. You need to have the discipline to keep that professional. As a coach and an educator, it's been instrumental. Hashtags. Is anyone familiar with the use of hashtags? Does anyone have a Twitter account? I'm curious. Okay. If you are using hashtags in the appropriate way, hashtags basically document what that tweet was about. That's how I describe it. Right? And so if you want to have a series on Acts, right? And you're going through a series on Acts, and you say Acts chapter Acts or series on Acts, hashtag series on Acts. Every resource that you post on Twitter on that book of Acts, you search on, in the link series on Acts, you'll get all those resources in a row. If you search for, say, your Fellowship Bible Church, right, and you have fellows hashtag FBC, every hashtag FBC event that you document, that you brand with that hashtag, you can search that one hashtag, and every single event that your church is participating in that you've documented with that hashtag will pop up on that social media, on that search. I've given you an example here. Right now, a major educational technology conference is going on right now. I'm not there, of course, because I'm here with you, right? And so, but I've been following it on Twitter. I've been making sure that I've been kept up with what is going on in certain sessions. And so this was something, and I literally just took this screenshot like at noon today, right? And so I had searched ISTE 19. ISTE is the name of the organization. And so there are two people right now that, when I took that screenshot, that were either promoting sessions or that they were highlighting important takeaways from a session. And I was able to get caught up with that just in an instant. I wasn't there. You know, they call this oftentimes PD in your PJs. You can be in your pajamas at home, and you can engage in really engaging and important ways in which to improve yourself in whatever career that you're working in. And again, what if you took a video, right? You screenshotted yourself using Loom, and you posted that to Twitter, and people that were following you as a church, following your church Twitter account, would have immediate access to that morning devotional. They wouldn't have to go anywhere. They could sit right there in their PJs at home, having a cup of coffee, going through your devotional for them on that particular day. That's powerful to me. And then if you brand it, hashtag FBC, right? Hashtag Fellowship Bible Church. Every morning devotional that you put out for an entire week, they could go back and watch every single one of them just by searching that hashtag. You know, when it's being used in that manner, I think that the growth for connecting to your community, the potential for connecting to your community, the potential for growing with other churches, other like-minded bodies, other like-minded entities, organizations, that has the power to really boost your not only your digital footprint, but your community presence. And just like we were learning earlier, there's the loss out there, right? And Dr. Potter was talking about that. And this is a good way to connect. It's a good way to reach those individuals, people that wouldn't come to church on a given day. But hey, what is this church all about? Maybe you have your mission statement and you tweet that out, and they can go back and they can search that if you're using the correct hashtags. That's cool. I'm sorry, that's cool. And again, it's a new way of thinking in terms of the traditional mindset when it comes to church and community involvement. But I think I do ask my 8th grade students how many of them have a Twitter account. Every single one of them would raise their hand, right? And that is the nature of the beast these days, right? You have to connect with this new learner, this new audience, and if you're not, someone else will. And so I've given you just a couple of...
Matt?
Yes.
With hashtags, if you have a group called Flesh Fighting Crime...
Correct, yes. Yeah, I knew you were going to go there.
And not
to the flesh part, but anyway, the acronym part, right? Go ahead, sorry.
They hashtag FBC. When you search for hashtag FBC, you're going to get Flesh Fighting Carnivores and the church.
Absolutely. So you would want to certainly... Before you start to maintain a hashtag identity, you would want to do a pre-search. And, you know, Fellowship Bible Church is obviously a well-known, used, you know, name for a church body, right? So you would want to come up with something and promote that. You know, you would say, you know, maybe it's Fellow Bible Church or whatever, right? And you can kind of shorten it up and find something that's not being in use, or you just add numbers on the end of it. You know, this is us. And make sure that people in your church know about that, and they're retweeting it using those types of that language as well. And so, yes, your point is well taken that there are multiple different hashtags that could be branched over and seen in multiple different ways. You certainly want to do some research prior to establishing a church identity through a hashtag. Yeah, that's a good point. So if your doctor still practices medicine the way that they did 30 years ago, it's malpractice. If your mechanic fixes cars the way that they did 30 years ago is malpractice.
30-year-old car.
Touche. It would probably take them longer, though, using 30-year-old technology, though. It's malpractice if your accountant does your taxes the way that they did, and it's also malpractice if you teach the same way that you did 30 years ago. Again, it's just a challenge more than anything else. You know, it's a challenge. We have to be willing to adapt. We have to be willing to see this change through and to embrace it when it needs to be embraced. The point was made earlier that there are certain things that you're rooted in, right? There's foundational beliefs that will not change, and that is absolutely the way that it should be. But the manner by which you engage your audience to try to deliver these foundational principles, doesn't that need to change with the times? I would argue very much so that it does. And I think that's really what I take away from this quote here. You know, that we try to, I can walk up and down the hallway and show you a teacher that's still doing the exact same thing that they've done 30 years ago, and there's not a whole lot of good coming out of their students' mouths when they leave that room. You know, it's just, it's boring. It's boring to them. And where at one point it was not. At one point it was not boring to a student for a teacher to teach in that manner, but today it is. And people that are resistant to that change, resistant to anything new that might come about in terms of technology or manners in which you communicate information, that does need to change. You know, if you're looking to reach this new modern learner, then it needs to change, and you need to be willing to change. And I guess that's the challenge. And so with all these tools that I've kind of gone through, that was kind of the meaning behind it, right? These are some simple, easy ways to connect to a modern learner using certain processes, using certain methods, applications that are free of charge, that are quick and easy to learn. There's not a huge learning curve here. There's not a lot of upfront in terms of learning this new tool and trying to figure it out. These are things that you could take away right now and embed somewhere in your fellowship, in your church fellowship. And that was kind of the point of the presentation. I hope that it was. What I like to tell teachers is there's a huge toolbox out there, right, of different tools that you can use. I gave you upwards of 10 right here. Don't try to do all 10 at one time. This is where teachers they'll have this like white look on their eyes, right? They're like how am I going to do all that? Pick one, right? Pick one that will show, and look, I hope you kind of picked up on how these are all interconnected in certain ways, right? So you pick up on one, and you start to bridge off of that. And that was pretty easy. You know, it's just, I have this situation arise in which I can apply this other tool that I have learned about. Let's see if I can implement that in some way. You know, we're trying to build up our toolbox of different resources. And when the need arises, right, you don't always need every single tool in your workshop every single day. But it sure is nice to have that one tool that makes things a whole lot easier when the need arises. And I think that the more tools you have in your toolbox, right, the more tools you have in your workshop, the better off you're going to be. And the more efficient you'll be, the more productive that you'll be, and the more effective that you will be. And so, again, I hope you take away something from the presentation. Again, maybe pick one thing, right? If Twitter's not your thing yet, right, I'm gonna work on QR codes, right? And then try to build off of that to something else. That is all I have for you today. So if you have any questions, I'm going to be hanging around. If you would like to see something, again, we didn't have time to just go through and explain every single thing, show how every single thing worked. I am absolutely more than happy. I would be excited to help walk through how to better use a particular tool that you saw today. So, thank you.